Hey, so if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we just started a brand new message series called Life in 2020. Thank you, Emma. If you're a first-time guest here, we want to tell you, one, we're thrilled that you're here. We love that you're here. We hope that you're feeling at home. This is a very casual atmosphere in which we are a bunch of normal people on an exploration and a journey together. Some don't know Christ yet. Some are discovering him. Some are in their early stages of a relationship with him. And some have been in a relationship with him for a very long time. But if you're a first-time guest, we want you to swing by the Connection kiosk out there. And you'll see these mugs. And that's absolutely free to you. Just take that little card that's in your bulletin and fill that out. Just give us some information so that we can contact you and let you know how grateful we are that you came and saw us today. And you just trade that. You give it to them, and there's a mug and there's a thing of coffee inside there so you can make your first pot of coffee on us. But we want you to know how thrilled we are that you're here, all of you, because we want to do life together. We want to see life experienced in the best possible way together. And the best way to do that is, listen, not seeing your life like you have always seen your life. Because you know your mistakes, you know your failures, you know your shortcomings, you know expectations and circumstances that surround you that are limiters in your life. Question is, do you think God sees your life the same way you see your life? And if you know anything about God, you know that he has the perfect perspective on your life and the perfect plan and purpose for your life. So no, of course God doesn't see your life the same way you see your life. God sees your life perfectly. And so this is about seeing our imperfect lives with perfect vision, and that's seeing our lives the way we're supposed to. So you may not know this, but there are in most years 525,600 minutes. Let me say that again, 525,600 minutes. In this year, 2020, because it's a leap year, we get an extra day, and that means that we get extra minutes this year. So there will be 527,040 minutes. So we get about 1,440 extra minutes. You probably don't realize that you have already spent, if you don't include today, 25,920 minutes have already elapsed in 2020. That leaves just a balance of 501,120 minutes. So you wonder why maybe I'm giving you all those numbers is because I want you to pause and ask yourself this question. What have you done with those 26,000 minutes so far? Do you feel like you've used all of those minutes to their highest and best potential? Do you feel like you've gotten everything that you possibly could out of those 26,000 minutes? And maybe a bigger question is what do you have planned to do with the remaining 500,000 minutes? I'm going to guess that most of us have an idea of where we'll go for vacation. Oh, we're going to do a Disney trip this year. Or we got a cruise plan. Or we're returning back to Idaho to visit family, or we're going to the Bahamas. It's been planned for years. It's a big family reunion. And maybe you say, yeah, you know, our car is getting ready to break down, so I know that we're working towards that. Or maybe there's a hope for a job promotion. Maybe there's some big, big events that you've got planned, and you know that somewhere in your year that's going to be experienced. But I'm guessing you don't have all your minutes planned. Now, the goal of today is not for us to become compulsive, obsessive micromanagers of all of our minutes, that we plan every single minute of our lives, but rather, listen, that we plan for every minute of our lives. Did you hear the difference? We don't plan out every minute of our lives. We plan for every minute of our lives, because you cannot pre-plan your minutes, because there will be circumstances and events that happen in your life that you have no control over. And it will alter the way you spend some of your minutes. Every one of us has experienced something in the last year where you had something planned, but then something came up. You had plans to be with somebody, go do something, go on vacation, go have dinner with something, and I'm so sorry, something came up and we cannot be there. Those minutes you had planned are now completely altered by the things that come up. So you cannot pre-plan your minutes, but you can plan for your minutes. No matter what circumstance or season of our life, you can see every minute differently before it even happens. Doesn't matter what's happening with that minute, you see those minutes differently. And the way to do that is in these three things I'm going to share with you this morning. Number one, in order to see how I'm supposed to spend my time, I have to, fill this into your notes, see that every minute has a price. Every minute has a price. So time, just like money, is spent, right? That's why when we're talking about time, we use the same expressions we use when talking about money. How many times have you said, maybe to one of your kids, I don't like that you're spending time with those friends. I don't like them. I don't want you spending time with them. Spending time, right? Maybe in more recent conversations with coworkers, you've said, listen, man, you're never going to get a promotion if you spend all your time goofing around. Spend your time. When we see somebody doing something that we know is not a good use of their time, we just say, oh my gosh, what a waste of time. Maybe somebody's taking on a new hobby and you just think, I'd never do that. What a waste of time. It's very similar when we see somebody use money on something stupid. We say, what a waste of money. Isn't that funny how everything we've bought was the thing we should have bought? Things other people have bought, what a waste of money. So listen, if you're getting ready to buy a TV, and TVs, by the way, have come way down in price, right? But they're still a lot of money. It's not like they're $15 or $20. They're still a big investment, and you want to make sure you're getting your best bang for your dollar. So you start reading customer reviews online. You start seeing all the ratings. You start seeing their longevity. You start asking the kind of important questions that say, is this the best way to spend my money? And you start watching YouTube reviews. I watch all kinds of people demonstrate things. Before I ever buy anything, Lisa will tell you, I spend weeks obsessing over finding out more and more about it and making sure that you get the absolute best deal. And maybe you'll wait even for a sale and you compare prices from store to store and make sure you hop on Amazon, compare it there, because you want to get the best price possible. There's really good wisdom in doing that. You should never spend a dollar more than you absolutely need to do. Jesus actually said there's good wisdom in knowing what you're going to spend. Listen to Luke 14, 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. I mean, I don't know how many of you, I've always wanted to build a tower. Suppose one of you, I guess that was big back then, everybody was wanting to build a tower. So suppose one of you wants to build a tower. What's the first thing you will do? Won't you sit down and figure out how much it will cost? And if you'll have enough money to pay for it. Now ask yourself this question. Do you sit down and calculate the price of the things in your life that take your time? If you were getting ready to build a house, you would certainly sit down and calculate how much every single thing cost and then decide whether you can afford it. Even if you were going to buy a house, you'd have to sit down and evaluate that. And if you weren't going to evaluate, a banker certainly going to do it for you and go, oh yeah, you don't qualify for that. There's no way you can afford that. You sit down and ask yourself, could we afford this TV? Can we afford this car? Can we afford this house? Can we afford to go to this place for dinner versus this place for dinner? And we do it all the time in assessing whether or not we can pay the price with our money. But ask yourself this question, do you take the time to assess the same thing, to ask the same questions when talking about spending your time? Here's why you should, because money you'll get more of, time you won't. You can't earn more time. You can't bargain for more time. You can't negotiate for more time. You can't be gifted. I can walk up to one of you and just give this to you, and you have $1 more than you had before. I, however, cannot give to you time. Nobody can. Now, there's been some great science fiction movies that allow that to happen. And Justin Timberlake was in a very movie. I don't know if there's young ears. Sometimes I say crap. But And that was the commodity. That was the value. They would give each other time extension on life. So there were people that were 200 years old because they were wealthy and had gotten time. And wouldn't that be amazing if that were possible? It is not. Once this minute has been spent, it cannot be recovered. Nobody can give you more. You can't earn more. That's why Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says this: act like people with good sense and not like fools. These are evil times. In other words, there are a lot of things that can move you away from God's highest and best. So make every minute count. Don't be stupid. Instead, what if I talk to you like that every week? How does Paul get away with writing to his church? Like, I'm like, you guys are stupid. Stop being stupid. I switched into my Jerry Seinfeld voice. Act like people with good sense. Don't be morons. Be wise is what the Bible says. They're evil times, so make, if it said make every dollar count, you go, yeah. We identify with that, but make every minute count. Don't be stupid. Don't squander your minutes. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Listen, if God knows every minute that your life has, don't you think that God knows how to spend every minute best? If God knows the number of minutes that you have left, don't you think that he also knows the best way to spend those minutes? Number two is this: in order to see how I'm supposed to spend my time, I have to, number two, see that every minute has a purpose. So every minute has a price, every minute has a purpose. Realizing the worth and value of every minute is much easier when you realize the purpose of every minute. You have to understand its purpose in order to assign a value to it. Now, I'm going to read a very familiar passage to you, one that you've probably heard if you've been around church for any length of time. It's even been in songs. There was a song in the 70s that sang this. But I want you've maybe even read it a dozen times, but I want you to hear it and read along. It's going to be on the screens to the left and right of me. I want you to hear it and read it as if it's the very first time you've ever heard these words, because there's an importance to it. Somebody's a Ring doorbell just went off, so you probably have an Amazon delivery at your house. Here it is. For everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time. Circle that right there. For everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time for everything under heaven. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. And a time to collect the harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to tear down. A time to build up. Now, I'm going to pause right here. We see those things as opposites of each other. They are not opposites of each other, but a completion of a spectrum. Does that make sense? That they are not opposing, they complement each other. There is an appropriateness, an equal appropriateness for each one of those things, and an equal appropriateness for time to be used for those things. A time to cry and a time to laugh. One is not better than the other. A time to mourn and a time to dance. It's just that in a moment, there is a purpose for that moment. A time to scatter stones and a time to pile them up. So in that time, when they would memorialize something, when they'd want to remember something, they would build an altar of stones. And they would collect those stones and they would mark that as a place and a time when something happened. And then you would scatter those stones to forget that thing. Time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to pile them up, a time for a warm embrace, and a time for keeping your distance. Another translation says a time to hug and a time not to hug. I like that because sometimes I don't know people. And if I don't know them, I'm like, I don't know if I want to hug you, but I can tell they're coming in for the hug. And I just say, I want to quote Ecclesiastes to you. This is not a time to hug. A time to search, a time to give up as lost, a time to keep, a time to throw out. A time to tear apart, a time to bind together, a time to be quiet, and a time to speak up, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time to go to war, and a time to make peace. Now, that can feel very redundant listening to all that. You go, I got it. He could have just said maybe the first two things and then said, et cetera, or and so on. But the reason that God enumerated and listed out all of those things is because he needed us to appreciate that everything, every single moment, every single minute has a value because of its purpose. And wanted us to see that there is not a single minute in your life that does not have a value, because there is not a minute in your life that does not have a purpose. It may feel sometimes, I was sharing with, I think, the staff this week that I hate a couple things. I hate showering and I hate brushing my teeth. Now, I know that's a bizarre thing. I do both of those religiously a couple times a day, all right? So I hate those things because I am, for those who don't know, if you're visiting, I'm highly ADD. Okay, not in a joking way. It's just something I'm fine with telling people because it probably helps explain my behavior if you're talking to me and I walk away in the middle of your sentence. That's part of my little struggle that I'm working on. All right. But I will tell you that I can do little else while I am showering or brushing my teeth. And I absolutely hate shaving because that is the thing I have to only do occasionally. But I just go, I hate that I have to do this. And so I will try to accomplish as many of those things together at one time as possible. Brushing with my Oral-B toothbrush and shaving and shampooing my head, because I feel like I'm wasting those minutes that I can't be getting more done. Every minute in our lives has a value and a purpose, and to waste those. Imagine your life if you only started off at the beginning of your life when you were born with a certain number of dollars and you were guaranteed to never get another dollar. Would you be wiser about how you spent each of those dollars? I mean, every single one of those dollars. You'd want to make sure every one of those dollars met its purpose. Hey, how many of you are old enough to remember when cell phones, you had limited minutes? And there was peak and off-peak time. And every minute that would go beyond your allotted minutes was like 35 cents a minute. Can I just tell you this? Teenagers, Gen Zers, millennials, you have no idea the beauty and the miracle of unlimited talk and text. You guys get on the phone and watch The Bachelor together and just talk for 2 hours while you're on the phone, and you're also getting data, unlimited data on there, and you're just going to town. We had 500 minutes a month. Buddy, you got on, you took care of business. Your wife started saying, oh, I forgot to tell you. So I was at the store. You're like, honey, shit, go pa, pa, pa. Tell me when I get home. This is costing us, we're on peak. This is peak time right now. If you want to tell me the story at 9 p.m., we go to off peak and we got unlimited off peak. You didn't waste a minute. And if you got somebody's voicemail, you didn't leave a message. You hung right up and hoped they saw you called, because incoming calls were free. That was awesome. Right? Call me back. I'm on peak time. Call me back. See, and I hung the phone up. That's the way phones used to work. You'd have to hang them back up. For those of you who are old enough, remember when you needed privacy? You would stretch that cord as far as you could, and you'd try to go in another room. Kids are looking around like, what are they talking about? You had to plug in extension cords and... Now, I want you to hear this as we move on. There's people visiting going, is this what they do every Sunday? This doesn't feel like church exactly. Your life is not unlimited talk and text and data. You have limited minutes. And you want to be more intentional about assessing the value of each one of those minutes so that you can say, is this really what I want to be doing with these minutes. And then finally is this, in order to see how I'm supposed to spend my time, I have to see that every minute has a priority. So it has a price, it has a purpose, and it has a priority. Now here's the really, really tough part. Because there's limited minutes in our lives, there seems to be unlimited things that want those minutes, right? So go back to the cell phone. It's like if every person in your life needs to be called, you have to figure out, oh my gosh, these are all important people to me. And I'm selling my Tundra. It has 231,000 miles. It just cost me so much money this year that it's a terrible investment. So I got another used truck and I was setting it up and it has this screen where you can place the 5 phone numbers that you want easy access to. All the numbers are in there. It's just there's 5 on your home screen that you, and I got to tell you, it was tough. Not because I have 5 people and there's my wife and my 3 sons, right? So I was like, they should probably be on there, right? So I have to give those to them. But then I'm like, kind of, I don't call like my kids. I tend to text them more. They tend to, because they would look at a phone and be like, it's making a noise. I don't know what this noise is, because they don't use phones to talk on them. So I'm like, do I want to waste my spots on them? I love them, but do I really want to waste my spots on them? It feels like there are a lot of things that are grabbing for our attention, grabbing to be inside that minute. And the really frustrating part is it's hard for us to assess what belongs in that minute. And we fall into the deceitful belief that we have enough for everything. We have enough to take our kids wherever they want to go and also work 60 hours a week and also make plans with friends and also do all the things that we want to do that help us feel fulfilled and content and happy in life. And we also have more time to do the thing that we just committed to do. And we also have time to take on this new obligation. And we just think we have all the minutes that we need to do it all. And we absolutely do not. Now, it'd be great if God gave us a drop-down menu, this digital screen right in front of us, and put these are the 14 things that are screaming for your attention that want your minutes. Bing, 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 bing. And he highlights and makes it flash on the one that's the most important. Wouldn't that be absolutely wonderful? Except God won't do that, and here's why. Because God's a good, loving father. And if you were a good, loving parent, and I think you are good, loving parents, you don't want to be making decisions for your 30-year-old son or daughter, right? You want them to grow, and some of you are like, but I am still doing that. You want them to grow in maturity and, listen, wisdom, so that they can appropriate the knowledge of God into their life. That's what wisdom is appropriately applied knowledge. Is knowing it and then knowing when to apply it. And what you and I want is the ability to appropriate what we know of God, about God, what we know of his character, what we know of our relationship with him, and apply that. That's why, listen, the Bible says this in Psalms 90, verse 21, so teach us to number our days. Let us understand that everything is competing for our minutes so that we may get a heart of wisdom, not so that we can get a heart of fear or a heart of anxiety or a heart of depression because our time is limited. Because listen, I'm this year turning a year older. None of your business. I'm turning 50, which is going to be a big deal because I understand that's when life just literally falls apart. Still in my 40s. I'm young. I'm hip, I'm losing my hair. Listen, it's depressing. I'm feeling my age. So I know that my time is even more limited than, say, somebody who's 25 years old. That's that us assessing that we have limited time is not to make us grow in anxiety, fear, depression, reflect on our lives and think about how we ruined it. It's so that we would grow in wisdom to know how to use every remaining minute, because we started life with only so many minutes and none of them get replenished. And so we have to be wise about how we use each one of those minutes. That means we have to become masters of priority. Psalms 90:12 in the Living Bible says it this way: teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Now, I can't accurately predict each of your minutes and what consumes them, but I think I can make a pretty good assessment of what takes a lot of them. We prioritize in our lives minutes so that we can have the things that we think make life better. And I'm not just talking about people who want more stuff. We all tend to want more stuff. It is the trophy of what makes us feel like we've accomplished something. Does that make sense? So when you have a nicer house, it's the reward of having gotten a better job and gotten a raise and gotten acknowledged for how hard you work. And those are things that we get and we accumulate those things. But it's not just stuff that makes us feel as if we're getting what we should for our minutes. I'm talking about those who are single, who prioritize finding a relationship. I've had people leave the church because there weren't enough single people in the church, right? So they put aside the need to connect with other believers or give up this family so that they can go find somebody because they so desperately want to be connected. There are things that feel urgent in our lives. I'm talking about people who have kids, prioritizing all the things that you're convinced give your kids an edge in life that will make them happier, more content, and more fulfilled or more successful in life. Talking about those who feel like they're in a one-way marriage. And you feel like, I'm tired of giving everything up for them. I'm going to start doing stuff for me. So I'm taking my minutes back. They get no more of my minutes. They don't care about me. I don't care about them. I'm going to get what's coming to me and what I deserve. Talking about those who are working at a job and it doesn't pay you enough to get the things that you want. So you start using your minutes to help you do the things that help you get to where you want to be, to get the things that help people in your life and you recognize how well you've done. Listen, if you and I stop using our minutes, stop prioritizing our minutes on the things that God has already promised us that he will provide to us, we can then reprioritize to start experiencing, encountering, exploring, and appreciating the things that God has already provided for us. You see, we're so distracted trying to get more of the things that we think are owed to us that we're not encountering or experiencing or appreciating the things that are already in our lives that God has promised. Listen, just enjoy what's in your life. I promise provision is coming to you. The things that you want, the things that you desire, the things that you need. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Listen to what this says in Matthew. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew 6, 25 through 27, and then verses 31 through 33. So I tell you, don't worry about the things that you need to live. Can you imagine if we actually lived like that, not worrying about any of the things that it takes to actually live? He says, don't worry about the things you need to live, what you will eat, drink, or wear. Life is more important than food, and the body is more important than what you put on it. In other words, that's the tiny things. Focus on the big picture. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or save food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Don't you know that you're worth more, much more than they are? You cannot add, listen, you cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. So not only are you wasting these opportunities, you're burning up resources that God is telling you I've put in your life to experience. You're not experiencing them and you're wasting time in the meantime not experiencing them. He says, don't worry and say, well, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? That's what those people who don't know God are always thinking about. So us as people of faith, as people who follow Christ, we don't worry about those things. Don't worry because your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. what you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do, then he will give you all these other things you need. In other words, God says, prioritize the plans that I have for you. And guess what? Here's my promise to you. If you'll put me first in your priorities and how you spend your minutes, I'll provide everything you need and want in your life. I'll make you happy. I'll make you content. I'll make you satisfied. I'll make you fulfilled. I'll make you successful with all of the things that you need in your life to make you feel all of those things. If you prioritize and put me first in every minute of your life, all that other stuff just gets thrown in for you to enjoy and experience and have in your life. Don't you want your minutes to be spent in your highest and best? Your highest and best exists in God and in God alone. You can find counterfeits. You can experience things in your life that look like and feel like temporarily that they are what you want. And I'm going to tell you that you will never know true contentment, true happiness. You will never experience what life is truly meant to be until you put God's plan for your life first. I don't know why, but for 3 or 4 times in the last 3 weeks, I've read somebody's post or something in an article where somebody says, my most favorite thing. Grammatically, that is so terribly incorrect. There's no such thing as my most favorite thing. Favorite is your favorite thing. You don't say my most favorite thing. You can't have your second favorite. It is favorite for a reason. It's like Lisa's my most favorite wife, right? That's not the way it works. Favorite holds that spot. You have to put God at the top of your list, not God and family, not God and spouse, not God and job, not God and money, not God and self-care, not God and you. It's God goes there, and God says, when I'm there, I put everything in your life in order. Every minute matters. Every minute's prioritized. Amen. If you started life with a million of these, a million, that sounds like so many. We would love to have a million of these. But you realize after the hospital bills paid, after you buy your food, after you buy your first car, after you buy your first house or pay rent, you start realizing that these are vaporizing so terribly quick. Maybe young and immature, you think you've got a ton. You're like, a million, I'll never run out. And by the time you're 20, 25 years old, you realize I've spent half of this already and I've still got so much of my life left to live. You know you're never going to get another one of those. Whatever you have is what you have left. You start assessing, man, I need to really start figuring out the price of everything, the purpose that I want each one of these to go to. And I'm going to prioritize only the most important things in my life because there's not many of these left. Those are your minutes. Father, I pray for every person in this room that we would put you first in every area of our life. I'm so thankful they're here. They could have prioritized anything else this morning other than this, and they didn't. So that moved you into the right place. But there are a lot of minutes left of today when they're driving, when they're eating, when they're planning. And then there's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But these minutes are vaporizing. They're disappearing. Let us look at each one, see the value, see the price of every minute that we're spending. They're not replenished. They're not given back to us. We can't earn more. We can't go buy more. So that we assess the purpose of every minute and say, is this what God has meant for me to experience? And there are times for laughing and dancing and loving and hugging, and we're not meant to just be about the serious business, but God, you give us moments to experience all of those things and everything in between, but we really need to ask, am I in the moment I'm supposed to be in? Is this how I want to spend my time? We can pull ourselves out of any of those minutes and reprioritize and say, I want to do God's highest and best in my life. I want to put him first and trust that he'll give me everything I need for happiness, for contentment, for fulfillment, and for success. And so that's our prayer this morning. And I just want to end with this last thing. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you want to begin that relationship today, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or do anything weird. I'm going to ask you to do something between you and me, because I've asked everybody else to bow their heads. I want you to just slip your hand up and say, if he'll take me just as I am, I would love to begin a relationship with him today. I'd love to begin to follow him today. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Let me see it. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Can every single one of us pray this like every single one of us just raised our hands, and let's do it with confidence. Christ Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you created me for good things, to experience your highest and best. And I know that when I'm not following you, I'm not living my highest and best life. So I ask you into my heart, into my mind, into my life. I push back, God, all of the mistakes I've made, all the sins I've committed, and I lay them at your feet. I ask for your forgiveness and new life today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Can we give God a big hand?